If I had me one of them jugs, Terry, I'd be. That's the only bass fiddle I could do would be the jug. Empty jug. Empty jug. There's no moonshine in that jug. Might have to bring a prop one day, Jim. Might have to use that thing. You know, what was that lip syncing years ago? I can, you know, I won't mess up their song. Praise God. You've been changed. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus changed us for the better. Because I used to be a taker, not a giver. One little thing I want to share with about that not limiting God. That be wise. It's wise not to limit God. That's a smart thing. Because Jesse shared this in his, one of his magazines. It says, there is absolutely no limit to what God can do for you. And he wants to do even more than you can, I'm going to change realize to imagine. Because it just fits right here. That you can imagine. Will you let him? Will you let him? Amen? Be wise. Don't limit God. Never limit God's wisdom, for it's infinite. Never limit God's power, for it's omnipotent. Never limit his power. Me and Mike Griffin, we sat here for another hour and prayed for one another about the power of God. He's believing for new knees. He don't want to have knee surgery, bone on bone. Believing for a miracle, and he prayed for me. Pray for one another that you may be healed one for another. We're talking about hindrances to healing. That's what we're going to be focused on. Maybe finishing up today, I don't know. We'll just go Sunday by Sunday. Never limit God's mercy, for it is high as the heavens. Lift up. Mercy, look up. And never limit God's time, because he is sovereign. Amen. He is, there's no time to him. What we may think sometime, and I'm not talking about your healing, you ain't got to wait for your healing. Amen. You don't have to wait for your healing. That's already been provided. Everything's been provided. But on different things, when you're relying on something from somebody else, your blessing, maybe financial or whatever God's, a word from God to come through another gift of God that's in a person that has the Holy Ghost. See, not everybody has the Holy Ghost. But they still got the gifts in them that God gave them, but they're being used wrong by the devil. See, every human being has a spirit. If it's been come to Jesus, it's alive. But if it's not, it's a dead spirit. What comes from deadness? Death. So you don't want to believe every spirit. You got to test the spirits. Amen. Amen. I've tasted these spirits, so I can tell you. I like El Vlarte, did I say that right, Jim? El Vlarte. My tongue wanting to just. I love their sweet tea. I've had to go unsweet, but they have the best sweet tea I've ever tasted. And I've had Jack Daniels. They look about the same. But one, you don't want to mess with. You don't want to mess with Jack no more. If it comes down to sweet tea or Jack, you need to stick with the sweet tea. Sugar's better for you than that stuff. If you want to weigh them on a scale, but then stay away from the sugar too. Get things right in your life and have a little bit. Jim, I didn't say I wasn't going to. I said I'm. The Lord's gave me wisdom, and I'm going to be wise. I'm going to do what he says. But he created good things down here for me to enjoy too. But with using wisdom, amen. Taste of the Lord. Can't go wrong with that. And see that he is good. And what he says is good. What he's done is good. And what he's going to do is even better. Amen.
Amen.
He's got better things he wants to do. Are you going to limit him? Believe. See, if you don't believe him, you limit him. Amen. So, never limit God's time because he's sovereign. Refuse to be like the foolish Israelites who turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. So today we're going to pick up on hindrances to healing specifically. I'm not going to summarize everything, because like Jim said, I've been waiting to get to week three. But don't forget about Daniel's prayer. That was the whole foundation. The hindrances is not God. God is not the variable. Immediately when Daniel prayed, the command went forth to God, and he was praying in faith, and God sent the command through the angels. You have angels. We have angels. Ministering spirits sent forth. To minister for us, to help us, to protect us, to do what they were created to do, to help us. But Also, Jesus said, I'm going to send you another one, not an angel, a comforter, a helper, a counselor. That's not the ministry of angels. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead. See, angels are created by God. They're not God. The Holy Ghost is God. So, see, we've got a greater covenant because we've got God in us, not just around us. We've got angels around us, and we've got God in us. Man, we got the victory. That spells victory. Amen. That spells victory. But we got to know that. A hindrance, if you don't know that, you're hindered. If you think God, like Jim talked about, if you think God is your problem, you're hindered. You're going to have a problem receiving anything. James says, don't think when you're tempted with God, you ain't going to receive nothing. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double standard. So Daniel, when he prayed, the command went forth. One prayer, it got there in 3 minutes. Gabriel showed up before he was even done praying. Touched him. Say, touched me. Touched him and said, brought mercy to him. Daniel, you are highly favored. Since you started praying, the words came. See, we don't have problems now. Our words don't have a problem getting to God. It's the word coming back sometimes where the problem is. It's because we got angels, we got demons fighting against us, and we got these two ears here that's trying to hear God here, and we can't hear God here. We got to hear God in our heart. And the Bible is a road map to success. I seen that this morning on Kelsey's, one of her folders she had from UNC Chapel Hill. It talked about academics, roadway to success. But I didn't see just academics. And that is a roadway to success. But without God, I don't care how much smarts you've got, you're not going to succeed. Amen. You might succeed in yourself being a success, but who wants to be the best sinner that goes to hell successful in this world and misses? Who wants to say get the whole world and lose their soul? That's a fool. Amen? The fool has said in his heart, not in his head, there is no God. See, God's not in your head, he's in your heart. Amen? And your vision from God is not in your head, it's in your heart. So if you're looking for God up here, you're looking for God in all the wrong places. Remember that old song? God is love, and he's everywhere. Amen? But if you go looking for God in the bar room thinking he's in there, wisdom's in there, it's not in there. It's in the church house. It's in God's people. Amen? So today, I made me a note. Start here today, Pastor. Start here today. Does that mean I'm going to follow my notes? I might. One of you guys might start prophesying here in a minute. Speaking, a gift of the Spirit might flow. You know what? I'd stop right there because I want to hear what God's got to say from you, man. He speaks to his people too. Amen. But a hindrance to, we talked about some hindrances, disobedience. And don't raise your hand if you're say, oh, he's speaking to me. No, I'm just speaking a hindrance in anything that God says. Disobedience is a hindrance. 1 John 4:4, this is King James Version, says, you are of God, little children. Compared to God, we're little children. Amen. We might be adults. Some in here, if there was kids and baby, there's youth and there's adults. God, we all children. You are of little children and have overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. God is greater than the devil. Amen. That could be a hindrance if you don't believe that. There's a lot of people who don't believe that. But Satan can hinder God's plan in your life if a physical person cooperates and gives the devil authority to do so. That could be a hindrance to your prayer, something you're believing for. God's supposed to use that person and they're listening to the devil. They're listening to religion, a religious spirit. There's all kind of, the devil flows through all kind of people. Things don't work automatically just because it's God's will and you prayed for it. There's variables happening out here that we don't know. We're not God, but he has given us his spirit. And if we'll stay in this book and read and be, you know, receive from the word, receive from the spirit of God and hear from God, then we can understand why some things are happening and not happening. But it's not God's problem. It's not his fault. He's working. He's already worked. He's resting. He is resting, waiting till his enemies be made his footstool. We're to help him do that, to put God's enemy under our feet. When we do that, we're putting him underneath Jesus' feet. And then he's sitting right now. Amen. Who's seated with him? We are. The Bible says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. One day he's getting up. Amen. I'm not saying he don't get up in heaven, but one day he's getting up and he's leaving that throne. Where is he coming? He's coming back here. And when the Father says he's sitting beside, that would be the big chair. big chair is bigger. And he's going to touch Jesus on the shoulder, or however he's going to touch him. He might not even want to touch him. It's time. Go get him. And Jesus is getting up and he's not delaying. Amen. He's going to be coming. Amen. He's going to be coming on a white horse. We're not going to talk about horses today. We're talking about hindrances to healing. James 4, 6 through 8 says, I know when Jim was up here talking about James, he made quotation a couple times. I said, I know Jim ain't going to miss that because his name's James Howard. I think if my name was James, I'd probably be led toward that book a little bit. It's got his name. That Bible got his name in there. Amen. Well, Jesus put your name in there too. It's in his book, the Lamb's Book of Life. See, this is God's roadway to success down here, but there's another book in heaven that every time you receive Jesus, your name goes in that book. Amen. My name is in the book. There's another one, Cotman family. My name is in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God. That's worth coming to church right there. James 4, 6 through 8, talking about hindrances, disobedience. But he gives grace, more grace. Wherefore he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves. Terry's singing about getting us ready for this. Surrender, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. Actively fight against the devil every day. Words, temptations, thoughts, you got to fight against them. It ain't just the sin comes after the thoughts conceived. The temptation comes before sin. That's what you got to fight. Amen. Fight, fight, fight. Because if you lose the fight there, sin's coming. Death's coming. The wages of sin is death. Death's trying to get into your work. Death ain't when you fall over dead. Death is pride. Death is depression, darkness. Amen. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. So you just can't submit to God, and the devil's going to run away. You have to submit to God, get the wisdom of God, get the promise of God in that situation, get built up on your most holy faith, pray in tongues. That's the will of God. That could be a hindrance if you're not praying in tongues. Now, when I'm not praying in tongues for my salvation, I'm praying in tongues to build myself up in my salvation, to know who I am and stay built up, because the devil wants to tear us down. Life in itself just wants to tear you down. Just the cares of this world. Paul talked about all that stuff that he was dealing with and all the cares of the churches. But he said, I am more than a conqueror through him who saved me, who called me. He's more than a conqueror because he wasn't doing it on his own. If you get to thinking that you're doing it in your own ability, you're going to fall. You're going to fail. Because when you're weak, the Bible says, I'm strong. You got to know you're weak in yourself, but strong in Christ. And that's called grace. Don't get to think you're doing it on your own. You're going to fall in that. It's God's power. It's you speaking his faith, his word, and you got to speak it. You can't just pray it and not speak it. Amen? It's got to come forth out of your mouth. And that's when he flees. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, wisdom. And he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And this is where disobedience, we've got to submit to God, resist the devil. We've got to do what God says. Let's make sure, and I've said this, resist the devil, don't assist him. Because if you get into pride, the Bible says God resists the proud. You don't want God resisting you. You want God assisting you. So when we get into pride, how are we going to get into pride? All kind of ways. All kind of ways. See, you can be in pride. There's a high end and low end. You could be thinking that I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. That's pride. That's the low end of pride. You don't believe who you are in Christ. But then you can think, I'm the best. You can be like Elijah, Lord. I'm your prophet. I call fire down from heaven. There's no one else here but me on this earth to do it, Lord. See, that's pride. But there wasn't. God had called other prophets. He wasn't the only one, but he thought, see, he got lifted up with all that power. Man, you see fire come down and consume enemies. Man, you got to watch that power. It can take you to a pinnacle that you weren't built for. That's God's pinnacle, amen? And he's sitting there with you, but it's his power. I'm only defeating the devil. I'm only walking in the blessing of the Lord because Jesus is walking with me. You get into a good airplane. You're flying at 40,000 feet like Jesse. Jesse's not ministering today, but Jesus is. He ministered in praise and worship. He's ministering in you. But this is what we're going to have at the event. And I didn't put a certain date on there, right? Because I'd like to have Jesse come back to another day. See, be good stewards of what I had a vision of him, just not coming one time, but many times. If the Lord leads him here, so we can use it again. We'll just roll him up like a scroll. We'll put him in the closet and say, whenever you'll come back, Jesse, we'll pull that scroll back out. Amen? Amen? But God is good. See, Colette's got a little problem. She says, his eyes are following me. Well, Jesus, the Word of God says, my eyes go to and fro. My eyes go to and fro in the whole earth seeking. See, he's seeking you, Colette. He knows you're faithful. But I did those eyes. If you do, they kind of follow you. But that's okay. I know Jesse. He knows Jesus. Don't listen to CNN, CBS to hear what you think about Jesse. Meet the man. I've met him. But before then, I knew him. I've never met Jesus, but I know him. How do I know him? By the truth, by the Word of God, by manifestation, by things happening in my life, by God manifesting and becoming real to me. Amen. That I'm not like I used to be. I've been changed. Hallelujah. And I'm still changing. I'm like a butterfly. I'm going from glory to glory to glory. Yes. When God gets you to one part, it's time to cocoon and go to another glory. But it's not going to happen with you staying where you're not supposed to be or not being where you're supposed to be. It's from glory to glory to glory. Amen? Hindrances to healing. Unbelief. This is the big one. When I say big one, it's just I think it's the most one that we deal here with down on earth because it all has to do with what we see with our five senses. Unbelief. Thomas had this problem. Amen? He was just one that Jesus picked out to use an example. He could find a lot of Thomases. But Thomas just happened to be the one that God chose to use. But Thomas is saved. He's in heaven. Amen? Because, see, Thomas was doubting in his head, but eventually he would get faith in his heart. See, God's not condemning you. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world from their sin. Sin of rejecting him. And if you receive that, all these other sins, they're already taken care of. But it's knowing God is when you know that you're free from them. Amen? So unbelief can keep our answers from coming to pass. Just because people sound and look like they're in faith to receive healing doesn't mean they are. Now, I'm not talking about nobody. I'm talking about hindrances to healing. I haven't, but Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin, I've never met the man, but I know him. I know him by the Spirit of God, and that same Spirit that was on Kenneth, that same mission to go teach my people faith, God dropped it into my spirit at my house. I've never been to Tulsa. I live in Mooresville, North Carolina, but God is omnipresent. Amen? Amen? Yeah. And if you'll listen to him, he'll get you where you're supposed to be, not where you used to be. I used to be an old sinner saved by grace. I don't live there no more. I am the righteousness of God in Christ now. Not everybody knows that. That could be a hindrance to you receiving, that God's made you righteous. He's called you righteous. Heard about calling. Have you heard your calling? You're righteous. You're blessed. A lot of people have been cursed all their life. Hard to hear that blessing when all they heard was cursing. But God never cursed them. It was the devil cursing them. Using people. But God sounded from heaven and said, this is my son. See, why do you believe in Jesus? Because God believes in Jesus. And God pointed him out. He even sent a bird. Amen. Now, God don't have to send birds anymore. He sent one dove and said, and that was given for John to understand that. Amen? John the Baptist. There's a lot of Baptists in this world. They know John. They need to know the bird, the Holy Ghost. And when I talk about he came down and he baptized Jesus, and then Jesus baptizes them in the Holy Ghost. So they do need a bird revelation. Amen? Not all Baptists. I'm just speaking. I've been one. I came from that tribe too. Some of them are limiting the Holy One of Israel. Amen? But that's okay. That's why God needs you and me. That's why he needs John Gurley to put some good things together to help people. One of them could be receiving the Holy Ghost. He's in you, but then on the day of Pentecost, he came upon them. He came in them and upon them. And there's more than just one feeling. There's continual feelings. I'm getting filled right now, Jim. And I'm overflowing. I would say I'm feeling and overflowing because I'm speaking things that I don't have written down, but they're written in my heart, and God keeps writing things on me. He's writing things. Jim's writing a book. It's going to turn into books. Amen. He's getting the first one done. That's going to be the first one's kind of like it's always the toughest thing. Everything we do, first time you rode that bike, first time I rode a motorcycle, Cecil, it was a Honda 350 maybe. I even painted that bike myself. I didn't put about $200 or $300 in it. Put my own spray paint. It eventually bubbled off. It was so cheap. I didn't know nothing, but it looked good at the time. I think I painted it red too. I don't remember what color, but I rode that thing. You know, it didn't have about maybe 3 gears, but it got me where I needed to be. What was I talking about? Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't know. Somebody help me there. Replay that recording, Leo. Just kidding, Leo. Don't stop the recording. But I enjoyed that. Riding. Talk about riding. First time you ride a horse, first time you ride a bike, you fall off. Well, the first time I rode a motorcycle, I didn't ride it as good as I did after I kept riding. I got better on it. Amen. Got better. And I enjoyed it. Still do. I enjoy Jesus. And I'm getting better at it. Amen. It's when you just got to step away from what you wrote and let him tell the story through you. And we're all the same. He wants to do the same thing through all of us. We all have stories to tell. Yeah. Larry Mullis, there's people talking about you, good things. You know how I heard about this place? Larry Mullis. Where did I hear about Troutman's Barbecue? I think we need to make an outreach, and we'll just call and send it to Troutman's Barbecue because we're getting a lot of publicity from Larry back here. He hears about us in this place. Amen. They hear about Jesus. And look, one of them's turned into a pastor. He's invested one that turned into a pastor, Jack Smith, that is going to start Recovery by Faith. Already started the ministry and going to start up, I guess, the first Monday. Well, he's on vacation, but Jack's going to be here next Sunday. 2 weeks. He had his open house here Saturday. So praise God. And you know what? At one time, Jack was in prison. You hear his testimony. And you'll hear it again, his own cocaine, heroin, all this stuff. What did God see? He saw him. He's a recovery by faith preacher. God never gave up. Jack was in a process here. He was in kind of all kind of stuff. And there was a light shining. He was being tempted, but God was giving him the way out. He just kept missing the way until finally he got there. See, God never gives up on us. And then it don't take long. And Jack started coming here. He was riding a moped to get to church. Now he's driving a four-door car and giving God glory and said, why did he get a bigger car? He said, because God told him you're going to be picking up people and bringing them to recovery by faith. See, that's a vision God's bringing. And his grace and God's anointing and his blessing will provide all that he needs for it. It'll start off little, but Jack's already seen things bigger. And see, that's what we got, these hindrances. You got to see, I wrote this down, I want to say it exactly like I wrote it down. I made notes. Anybody make notes on their phones now? A hindrance to your healing is if you don't see yourself healed. Basic, 101. How hard can that be? But then we get off all these things, and we've heard all this good word, and we're thinking, well, there's a 12-step, 10-step, 4-step. Let's go to the doorstep of Jesus. Let's go to Jesus! I need healing. Doorstep. He says, you are healed. Be healed. Jesus is the door, right? He's the door to healing. He's the door to salvation. He's the door to prosperity. What do you need, man? He is the door. Amen. But he don't open his door for everybody. He opens the one that are knocking. See, he said, I stand at the door. Jesus said, I stand at the door, knock. If we come, we'll let him in. He won't leave. Once he comes in to stay. Amen. And he's there. But he's there to help us. He's there to help us, not hurt us. So a hindrance to healing is if you don't see yourself healed. Wow, this might be another one. Because I need to say that toward the end here. Old Testament of unbelief. Wait a minute. We do not always know what is going on in somebody else's heart. This is where that unbelief is working. It's in the heart. We cannot blame God for not answering our prayer for someone when it's up to that person also. God, what's going on? God, no, don't talk to God about your mountain. Tell the mountain about God. It's got to move. God said it'll move if you have faith to move it. If you believe, it can be moved. But don't you go move the person. That person, you know what I mean? You just got to move that spirit. Speak to it. God is always constant. He's not the variable. He's always on. Old Testament example, Hebrews. I'm not Old Testament example. I don't know why I put Hebrews 3:7. Anyway, that should be New Testament example. Hebrews 3:7-19. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, say today.
Today.
Don't say if you'll hear my voice. Say
today.
I hear God's voice.
I hear God's voice.
Harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation, Jim, in the wilderness. See, a lot of people harden their hearts. How you harden your hearts? You blame God. And that hardens your heart. Because that's hard, man. What did Jesus say? Man, it's hard for you, Paul, to kick against the priest. It's hard when you blink, I'm the problem. Life is hard when we think God is our problem. Right? But it's easy when we know He's not. It can be easy because He's not our problem. Look, I hear somebody riding a motorcycle right there. Oh, wait a minute, that's a helicopter. I'm just hearing motorcycles. Man, they sit. Anybody order? Anybody coming? Important helicopter? Harden not your heart, says the day of provocation. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. And that's a long time, guys. I'm 53, and man, 40 years, man, they just wouldn't listen to God for 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their, not their head, in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take heed, brethren. This is New Testament. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you. What does God call an unbelieved heart? He calls it evil. Evil. Where's your hindrance in? If you think God's the problem, if you think God doesn't love you, He's not for you, He doesn't think you're worthy, that's an evil heart of unbelief. Don't think God's going to hear anything you're asking Him because He's not going to answer that prayer because your heart's wrong. He's looking at your heart. He loves you. Amen? They had an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. To the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses? I don't want to be one of them. Carcasses that fall in the wilderness. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. Believing is a choice. Faith is a choice. Faith in God is a choice. Amen? I don't care what people say. There is a God, there ain't a God. It's a choice. You choose what you believe. That's why Jesus said, be careful what you hear, with what measure you hear. Measure it out. Measure it to this word right here that God. Peter said, there's a more sure word. If an angel comes to you and witnesses and prophesies, there's a more sure word that's been written in this book right here, the Holy Bible. Find it in here. Amen. And to whom he swore, they would not enter his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They couldn't get into the promised land because of unbelief. Why? Wouldn't God not let them go over there? Well, he don't want them to mess up the things over here. For those, there was two, Joshua and Caleb, that believed God. Amen? Only two people in the whole congregation of Israel who came out of Egypt lived to enter the promised land. Joshua, Caleb. Ain't that something? Jesus Christ, Joshua, Caleb. Just something to think about there. Although Moses didn't join in the unbelief about entering the land of Canaan, Moses Remember, y'all, the rock he had? He wasn't thinking about the rock of my salvation. He hit the rock instead of spoken to the rock. Disobedience is a hindrance to your healing, to doing what God says to do. He was disobedient. Tradition can hinder you in the things of God. I've been changed. You need to be ready to change. See, traditional church, traditional people, they don't want to change. Man, we singing this Sunday morning. That ain't what we sang in my 1240. That ain't. Be willing to change. Amen. You're not here worshiping people. You're here to worship God. So be ready for the song. A song could change. Pastor could change. He go on vacation. Man, that's another pastor this week. I thought Jim was ministering. But the word is the same. See, don't put people up on a pedestal. Put Jesus. That's the only one that can stand there is Jesus. Amen. Jesus is here. Jesus is ministering. It's his word. He's the one that's going to change things in your life. Amen. Joshua and Caleb knew that. They knew it. Moses struck the rock. He didn't get to go in. He saw it. Thank God he got to see it. Moses saw it, but it couldn't go over. The Lord dealt with the Israelites as individuals. He didn't punish the innocent with the guilty. He spared Caleb and Joshua because they operated in faith. See, faith in the old covenant is the same word, trust. They trusted God. They believed God. That was accounted to them, like Abraham, as faith. They believed. We're going to the promised land. What was then talking about? There's a lot of people grumbling. My God, I wish we'd go back to Egypt. But he's back there, man, the Pharaoh was feeding us. God, we out here eating manna. This manna. What does it mean? What is it? That's it. What is it? They didn't even know what it was. But it was angels' food. They were living, wasn't they? It wasn't caught. They wasn't getting whipped. It was getting fed. And then God gave them water coming out of rocks, flowing like a river out of a rock. Miracles. They were living by miracles. Right in their eyes. And they were grumbling and complaining. And what happened? Snakes came out and started biting them. And they thought the snakes were from God. But that was the devil. They were reaping what they sowed. And then, you know the story. God said, Moses, put a snake up on a cross quickly. That represented Jesus. Had to stop the plague, the snake. Who stops the devil? Jesus. He defeated him on the cross. Jesus didn't lose his life. He gave his life. I surrender all. Give your life for the kingdom and watch God build his kingdom through you on the earth. Amen. A hindrance, anything, disobedience, unbelief is big. It's a big hindrance. How do you get rid of unbelief? Jesus told us. He told his disciples. Remember, they were up on the mountain. They saw Jesus. They saw the glory. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus, saw the glory. The Father, man, they were all there. The Father, Elijah, help me, Moses. And they saw Jesus as the sun, brighter than the sun. And then all that disappeared, and only one left was Jesus. And Jesus said, don't talk about this, what you've seen, until later. And then they go down, and his disciples, there's a guy down there, son. Devil's throwing him down on the ground, convulsing. And he came to Jesus and said, if you can do anything, your disciples can't, but if you. And Jesus, man, he said, if you can believe, all things are possible. See, unbelief, the disciples got stuck in unbelief. They'd never seen a devil like this manifest. But it wasn't all that. Jesus, what needed to be? The unbelief was the problem. They didn't believe. They had the power to get rid of that kind of devil. And that was the sin that says comes out by prayer and fasting. What does prayer and fasting do? Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. You know who you are. You know where you stand. You know who you are in your authority. And they would have just took authority over that situation. It had been ended. But they got caught up in what they were seeing and hearing and what his daddy was saying. How long y'all going to pray? How long is it going to take it to be delivered? See, they're listening to all this. It don't take long to be delivered. Jesus says, shut up, come out. But he knew who he was. That's what his father said. Don't talk to that devil. Tell him to come out. Don't get a conversation with the devil. Amen. That's wrong. That's wrong teaching. You don't go around asking demons their names. You know, Jesus did that as an example. There was many. That's what he wanted us to know. He didn't care about names. There's many devils, and God is greater. It don't matter if it's 1,000, 10,000. God said, you cast them out. Tell them to come out. Leave me alone. Get out of here. And then he prayed for healing. Some of them, after that, healing manifested. The devil can be a hindrance to your healing. Amen? Unforgiveness. All kind of things there. Unbelief. We often place the importance, and I'm getting close to a closing here. We often place the importance on actions that we call sin. However, all sin is the result of unbelief in our hearts. God looks at our heart, and it's the unbelief that he sees. That unbelief will grow or can grow into sin. But Joshua and Caleb, they weren't sinless. There was sin in their lives. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To know to do good and don't do it, that's sin. All of us got sin in our hearts. But they believed God. All these little sins, but they didn't have an unbelief that God wasn't able to do what he said. You're going to the promised land. They believed that. They never gave up on believing that. They're looking, just like Abraham. They were looking for a city. Abraham never seen the city with his physical eyes, but he's dancing in it now. Because he saw it in his heart. He was looking. He didn't give up because he saw it in his heart. I didn't give up on preaching and ministry because I stayed under Jim and Gary and I knew God had called me, but it wasn't time yet. God is sovereign. But I waited. Waiting is not, I served. A waiter serves you. You get down and just do what God says do. Amen? And me and Jim still in business. I tell him, whatever he needs to do, just tell me, I'll do it. Amen? You listen to Brother Keith Moore talk about one time, you know, he taught healing school with Brother Hagin, and they felt like it was time to leave and start their ministry, and they left. And then I've heard him teach, and he said, they got in conviction, and he said, you know, something ain't right. God didn't release me from that ministry. So they went back and apologized, repented, and Brother Hagin said, yeah, come on, just however long God tells you to do it. But when he went to Brother Hagin and said, I think God's calling us, and you know, step out into the ministry, and he said, well, if God's telling you to do it, boy, you got to get on it, get about it. See, he let Keith decide whether that was God's word or not. See, Brother Hagin, I think he probably knew by the Spirit of God, I hadn't released him yet. But see, sometimes we let somebody, and that's God, okay, you got to see that wasn't right. That's not evil. That's God letting Keith know you didn't hear my voice right. Go back, repent, and it worked out, and now he had peace about it. And then there came a releasing point to where now it was just, somebody else got to take what we were doing. You know, here are the Grays, if you know Scott and Shirley and Gray, they were here with Dr. Price for many years, taught Sunday school. They got four kids just like us, family of six, big family. But when we arrived, we was talking about this yesterday, some of us, they were so excited. And they were, thank God, God sending another family over here. And then we found out later that God had called them, was calling them to Matthews. And we were like so sad. We were here, you know, it was just together, but we're like, but see, that was us coming in so that they could go on, be released. And it was hard for them because they've been praying, you know, but they knew they couldn't, it wasn't time for them to leave here. They were here to serve Dr. Price until we showed up. Amen. So we just all kind of, if we'll be in our place doing what God's called us to do, there's grace for that. Amen. There's grace for coming, grace for leaving. But unbelief gets involved, we get messed up. Romans 14, 22, 23 says, has thou faith? Faith is what pleases God. Have it to thyself before God, because happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he's allowed. In verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. Unbelief is sin. And it can hinder your healing, anything that you're trying to receive from God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to finish up right here, but I'm not going to finish. I'm going to stop. I wish I had a pen. I didn't bring a pen up here. I'll remember. I'll put me a marker right there. That's where I stopped this week. Jesus was hindered by unbelief. If Jesus can be hindered by unbelief, so can we. Because we're not above the master, right? We go back to that a hindrance to your healing. And this is just really what the Lord just specifically today wants us to know. Hindrance to your healing is if you don't see yourself healed. Amen? And that comes from having a positive imagination. Brother Lawson Perdue was teaching it this week, and I heard it, and I've heard Brother Andrew teach it too. 23 times in the Bible, imagination is listed. Out of 23 times, 22 talks about an evil imagination. All man's hearts were evil upon the earth before Noah. Even their desires and their intentions were evil. They thought nothing good except Noah. It said Noah found grace in God's eyes. And through Noah, 8 souls, the whole world was saved. We're here today because of that man believing there's something good about God. One man. And God had to totally flood the whole earth to get rid of that sin of unbelief. Hardened hearts, that it took a flood. Amen. That's sad. I mean, it grieved God's heart to do that. But if he had not did that, we wouldn't be here. Jesus would have never been able to come. Because, see, that was God's mercy back then. It's like a cancer in the body. If you got cancer in your leg, better take the leg off than the whole body. And that's what God had to do as a cancer. He had to take that evil out of man. Only way to do it, only way the devil could get out, because Jesus wasn't there, the people had to die. So the devils had no bodies to operate through. But Noah found grace, and God told him to do something, and he wasn't disobedient, he was obedient. And for 100 plus years, he built an ark. How did he build it? God gave him the vision. Never been a boat. What do you need from God? You missing a kidney? God can recreate it. Amen. Hey, just don't limit God in your healing. Amen. Randy's nerves are going to quit hurting. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Why? Because he believes. Yes. He's not here today not because he's not believing. He's here, not here today because he's resting and recovering.
That's right.
Yes. Using wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
But God sent Jackie. Yeah. God is sending your blessing to where you're supposed to be. See, Jackie's coming. She's receiving faith to take it and release it on her husband and others that will listen. Amen?
Amen.
What do you need? The vision's in the Word of God. The roadmap is in the Bible. But you got to take it off of those pages. Help me preach this. You got to put it in your heart. You got to cultivate it. I've heard Jim talk about the sower sows the Word. If you ain't got the Word, you ain't sowing nothing but unbelief. And there's a lot of people that'll help you grow that garden of unbelief. Come on, brothers and sisters. They'll help you fill that garden with weeds, dandelions, anything but what you need. You need a harvest. And the only place you're going to get it is in God's Word. It's in His Son, Jesus. And you'll get it here. You'll get good faith teaching here. Like I say, I'm getting ready a couple more weeks. I'm on vacation. Jim's going to step up and minister. Who else we got? Jackie's going to minister. I've got to get my notepad out. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'll leave a POA, a plan of action, and they'll put it in action. I just leave a little bit of instructions, and you know what they do? They run with it. They fill you up. They pray for you. They hear from God. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. It was hard for me to see myself. See, I could take this as pride to my pastor that I was under for since 2001, 18 years. Now to him be listening to me, you could take that and be like, wow, that just don't seem right. But you just got to humble yourself. And see, I still receive from him. We receive one for another. Amen?
Amen.
God's still doing things through him. Through Spirit of Faith Ministry over in Kenya. He's writing books. I ain't got time to write books yet. Jim got time to write books. I think Wanda's helping him too, ain't you, Wanda? She's probably getting to read some of those things and make corrections. A positive imagination. Your imagination, I don't care what the world says, you've got memories in your mind, but your imagination is in your heart. In your heart. See, your mind follows your heart. How do I know that? I didn't write the scripture down, but it's in Proverbs or Psalms. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, you don't think in your head. That's a part, but it comes from your heart. And if you got all evil in your heart, that's what your head's going to be thinking about. But if you fill it with God's word, put God's word in your heart, as a man thinketh, so is he. You're creating, that's in your imagination. Amen. You can't let it run wild, because there's all kind of things trying to get sown in your heart. Trying to get in. Jesus said, the devil has nothing in me. What he was saying was, he has nothing in my heart. See, he was being tempted in all ways. He was hearing all kind of things. But you know what? There was something greater on the inside of him. It was his father's DNA. Words, strands of words saying, that ain't my voice, son. Now make him get, who said get the devil on the run? That ain't my word, son. Put the devil on the run. That'd be a good song, Terry. We need to find that one. Put him on the run. How do you do it? Speak the word only. It is written. What do you need? I like this. As a man thinks in his heart, that word in the Hebrew. As a man thinks, that imagination is when you actually frame it, or when a thing is framed or formed. That imagination. So whatever God puts, his word, God gave me this and it just burned in me. God's word, remember the old saying, and it might be a new saying, a picture paints 1,000 words. That's true. But you know it goes deeper than that? God's word paints the picture. You know, I heard it, Jim would teach years, and he talks about the Hebrew language is a picture language. It paints pictures. And see, that picture that somebody painted, man, there's 1,000 words you could say about that picture. Just think about somebody, if they painted a picture of Jesus. There could be all kind of words about Jesus. Bad words or good words. See, what's in your heart? See, that's what you're thinking about that picture. But if it's a good Christian picture and it represents God, God gave them that picture to paint that thing. It came from his word. A picture holds 1,000 words, but God's word paints that picture. It goes deeper than what we can see, taste, hear, smell, or touch. It goes to the root. If you want to see have good fruit, you got to take it to the root. Got to go to the Word of God concerning your healing. Amen? So I remembered, I'll finish the conclusion I had on my paper was, enough is enough. I'm not sure if we're done with that yet. Enough is enough. It's time to get your stuff. God added that. Enough is enough. It's time to get your stuff. Whether that be healing, deliverance, what do you want? God says, I am. Remember Reed talked about, I am that I am. Fill in the blank. Got a book up there by Brother Hagin. Write your own ticket. Write your own ticket. Now, I ain't talking about a law officer because you're breaking the law. You're not writing a ticket because you broke the law. You're writing a ticket because you have Christ in you, the love of the law. I mean, love painted the picture. So, if you need healing in your body, you got to see that spiritual picture and hang it on your wall, the wall of faith. Hebrews 11 talks about the wall. If there's a museum of faith, it's in the Hebrews 11. Faith men and women throughout the ages. You're a part. Hebrews is still being written, book of Hebrews. You know, there's no pictures in here. But we can see them by faith. We could put them on the wall of what Jesus has done and what he's going to do. Throw those promises on your wall of imagination, on your heart. And until you see them out here, they haven't came to pass yet. You gotta actively fight against the devil, because healing's already been provided. Everything's done been provided. Amen? It's finished. Written in blood. Blood stains. When it's written, you can't get it out. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's close our eyes and receive. See what you need. See, that's why you got to shut them eyes. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord. I thank you for touching the hearts of your people today and setting them free. Setting them free from anything that would be hindering their healing in our bodies, Lord. I'm adding me to the equation, Lord. Father, we just thank you right now for sending us Jesus and sending the word here today, Lord, for giving us a positive imagination of who you are. You are the healer. You are the great I am. And Lord, we surrender all to you today. When we came into this place, we made a choice to come today, Lord, to worship and honor you. And we thank you by that, Lord, we show that our hearts are for the things of God. We thank you, Lord, right now for your healing anointing, Lord, that's being manifested in our lives and on our bodies. Just raise your hands right now, not because I said to, but God, just reach up and take that healing anointing. Anything you're dealing with right now, just reach up and take your healing that Jesus has provided, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. You are the great shepherd. You are the great physician right now, Lord. And we just take from you, Father God, what we need in our bodies. I take my healing to my body, Lord, where I am doing what's right, feeding my body right, Lord, and diabetes has been defeated in my body. And Lord, I release my faith for the others in this church and others that will come in this church, others that are not here today, Lord, that need healing in their bodies, Father. We just thank that. We give you the praise. We call it in right now in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, we don't have to wait to be healed because you were whipped. You were wounded. You were bruised. The blood was shed so that we could be healed from all sickness, all disease, all manner of disease. And, Father, we receive that today by your anointing and by your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, for touching my niece, for Brandy, touching her ankle, Lord, and for the work that she lost because she couldn't get on her feet, Lord. We call that out of the devil's kingdom right now. Seven times what she lost into her family, into her household right now because the thief was found. And we thank you right now, Lord. That's a promise in your word that we call that into her right now. We lift up Dr. Price, Father, and we thank you, Lord, for the words that he has, Lord, the words that he has petitioned you with, and thank you for the healing, Lord, that's being manifested, the miracle that's being manifested in his body right now, Lord, in the brain tissue right now, Father, that he's being set free from any kind of seizures, anything that's hindering him from, Father, being able to fulfill his race here on this earth. Lord, we thank you for that right now, Father, that you are omnipresent. You are right there, Lord. We just release our faith and thank you, Lord. We see him. We see him living long and strong. And Miss Jean, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you, Father, that, Lord, what you started, the work you started in him, Lord, that you'll finish it strong in him in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we break any hindrance of unbelief right now, or any thoughts in the past of being unworthy or offenses right now, Lord. We just speak against those right now in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you right now, Father. Give you the praise for that, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the leaders over this country right now, for our president. Lord, we thank you, Father. All the hindrances, all the naysayers, all the lies, Lord, they fall. They fall right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us the victory when we pray for our leaders. Those that are in authority, Lord, that we're going to rejoice because righteousness is being restored, and we will rejoice. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.